Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. My show is called Bridging Wisdom, and tonight I have with me one of my very closest friends, Janet Russell. She's a psychic medium, a spiritual advisor, and she's also a TV host on one of New York's top cable access shows. The psychic program is called Beyond the Unexplained. Janet's featured in such shows as A&E Paranormal State and Pix Channel, which is Channel 11, The Haunted New York, and is that has been nominated for an Emmy. And Janet, I'm just going to stop right there and just bring you on in. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Tell me a little bit about what's
sound
been,
well.
You sound great. We've seen each other for eons, I think, haven't we?
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, I took my little nap. I always like to take a little nap prior to me doing any, you know, any TV or radio shows. This way I'm fully refreshed, or at least I think I am.
Yeah, you sound great.
Thank you.
I've been up on your webpage, which is full of all of your information of what you've been doing, as well as it's got a little pieces of your TV shows up there. I've enjoyed that. It's http://janetrussellpresents.com.
That's it. So yeah, I get it updated every month. So this way people know where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing, and this way I know where I'm going and what I'm doing. Because I'm so busy, I never know.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about how you got, since you were here last year at this time.
I'm sorry, hey, honey.
You were on last year at this time on BBS?
Well, was I? I know I was on a few times with you, yeah.
I mean, you've gotten into a lot more.
Oh, goodness.
It was cruise promotions.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be doing two cruises, actually three cruises. One in January with Mystical Cruise with Robert Schopp. I do his radio show every month.
Yeah.
We're going to leave out of New Orleans. Then in March, I'm supposed to do a cruise from Fort Lauderdale with Key West Paranormal Society. And then a friend of mine who from New York, she's got her own, travel agency. We were talking the other day about doing a fundraiser cruise in December 2013 from New York. So it's exciting. I can't wait. It's basically, it's like a dream come true because I've always wanted to lecture on cruises. My dreams are coming true, you know, little by little. I mean, at this age, it better hurry up.
Yeah. Would you tell me about some of your TV shows, what you do?
Oh, sure. Well, I have two TV shows. The first one is Beyond the Unexplained, Women of Spirit. It's a live show. I have a co-host, Anne-Marie Davin, and we invite very interesting, articulate ladies and gentlemen to do the show, you know, of interest to Long Island and to the world, really. I've got a young girl coming on next month. Her name is Jamie Isaacs, and I'm very proud of her. She's only 16, but she's actually been to Albany, and she's in the process of getting bullying to become, if anybody bullies, to become a crime. She wrote a book in Jamie's words. Wonderful parents. I'm going to actually be doing a fundraiser for her probably in August. We're not sure on the date yet. We're going to do it in July, but we didn't have enough time. But, excuse me, because she's going to be putting together support groups for children that can't afford it. So I felt, well, you know what, if I could do anything to help, of course, you know, kids, special needs, and pets are my favorite charities. You know, I do everything. I mean, I've got three fire departments coming up. In fact, today I just went to one of the fire departments that I'm going to be doing coming up in October, in the local town that I live in. So bring a lot of people in. It's for a good cause. You know, they make a fair amount of money, and I'm happy to give back. I really am. And you know, you're so much like me in so many ways because when you are gifted, you need to help people. There's no question as to why. It just, you're supposed to do it, and that's the key to success,
yeah,
I think.
That's true. And I don't like to, I don't know if you do this, but once I work with someone, mine is mostly deep root, intuitive,
right, yeah,
like a personality to help them understand their personalities, mm-hmm, of why and what and how things are with their life. But yours is more,
Well, I connect with the people on the
other
side.
I do it in the privacy, but you do it more in the public. But do you notice that it's such a reward in the your heart gets so warm just to be able to help somebody. I feel God gives us these gifts that we should give them back,
you know? Totally. I mean, everybody is gifted in their own way. It's just, you know, I guess everybody progresses in a certain way, whatever, and I do believe in God, you know that, whatever God's path is. But I, like you, we like to help, and you know, and there's, and it's done with a passion. And when you do something with a passion, it's not work. It's love. It really is love, you know.
It's passion. A long time ago, somebody told me I was the color red, and I said, boy, I'll take that, because that is passion.
That's love, sure.
That is the depths of passion.
Yeah, definitely. Passion, love. You know, it could be anger, too, but I don't see anger around you.
I learned is that the depths of the love you have for something, if you get upset or angry, then it'll get mad. It has its stages, just like grief. Mm-hmm. And that's the depths of you loving somebody could be the depths of the anger you have towards them at the any given reason.
And so I think we've all met that type down the road, you know, in our life search, or you know, just now life's, because you know yourself like I do, there are no coincidences why certain people step in our path, decided to learn to forgive, to forgive ourselves, or to just, you know, karmically. Stuff
you know,
that goes on
learned,
in the past,
and
we've got to cleanse
it. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said a lot of the people that we meet, and a lot of when there's certain issues, people are in our life basically either to help us, you know, clear karma, which means there might have been issues in a former life that will show up, you know, this lifetime, or just to, you know, to be by their side. But, you know, but the thing is, you get to a point in life where we are number one, and when it starts impeding on our lifestyle or our life set, then it's time to cut the strings and say, you know what, God, I did all I could do. I was there. I did this. I did that. But now it's time for me. And I think with this new change, you know, the new change in the earth, it's kind of making people that are irresponsible a little more responsible. But sometimes they got to be literally pushed in front of the car practically and practically get hit with it to say, wait a minute, I better wake up. Something's not right here.
That's
And I'm fine.
You know, it's just like with me, I've been writing this, like, I call it the story.
Beautiful.
I act it out. Before
well, that's
I put
good.
It, you know, I've written it for years and years.
I know. Well, you've got that talent, so, you know, you can do that.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. And then I'll put little pieces and little things up, you know, and and move things around the house, and I won't touch it until I get totally the whole story of how I want the script to go, you know?
But, and you know, you, like I, when people aren't telling you the truth, we know it, you know, God. And most people, they don't, you know, the average person doesn't realize that God does give you these gifts. You know, if it doesn't feel right, it usually isn't right, you know? Right. I find when I'm on target, I get chills, and I always say, thank you, God, because I know that that's the gift that he's giving me from above to try to help people that sometimes they don't see the hand in front of their face. It's sad. And there's so many out there.
You know, if people would just stop judging other people, that's number one that I've got to quirk on, that they don't understand why another person's doing anything or behaving a certain way because they're not in their shoes. But if they just look at the person that's got that spark in their heart, that goodness, for, you know, the goodness of people, then, you know, for an example, like in the story I'm writing, I let my house get kind of chaotic, you know, because I am ADD one. But the thing is that everything that's laid out is part of my little story. You know what I mean? And I learned that in school when I was studying. My teacher told me to, like, if I was going to remember something, to focus on, like, a tree or a picture or whatever, and say it a couple times. And
move, something that coincides,
I learned that I was more audio plus visual with little props in the house. And what's so funny, Janet, is my daughter comes in, and she's the one that wants to help clean it up at the end,
right.
And you know, to make a little extra money for Avery.
Sure.
And can I touch this? Can I move this? Is it right?
Well, that's like my son was just up, God bless his soul, from Georgia. And what this kid did, I would never have enough money to pay him. He painted every room. He sanded the floors. Of course, my house was in chaos for the last almost 2 months, and he finally got home. You know, he actually just left Saturday, and he finally got home like Sunday night, you know. It took him 25 hours instead of 18 because the car I gave him, I had a car sitting here, and I said, you know what, take it. Nobody's using it, take it. And, of course, it needed a little fixing up. He didn't realize that it had two gas tanks. So twice he ran out of gas. Meanwhile, he didn't have a cell phone with him. I was like, oh, my God. So I was panicking. His wife was panicking, and he finally got home like at 1:30 in the morning. He was supposed to be home like 4 in the afternoon. I said, oh, Jesus. But he's happy. He's there, and the car made it, and he made it. And, you know, and yeah.
He already left?
Yeah, he actually got home at 1:30 Sunday night. 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, he left Saturday night, and he should have been home like 4 o'clock Sunday. It was actually 1:30 in the morning Monday. But, of course, you know, being a mother, how do you sleep, you know?
I
got the phone to ring. My heart was palpitating.
No,
but he's a blessing, this kid. You know, I have 4 children, and he's the one. I mean, he comes all the way from Georgia to New York, paints the house, and he was not leaving. He says, Ma, I got to do it. But me being the pack rat, you know, he was like, you don't need this, you don't need that. And, of course, my stomach was turmoiling because, of course, you could have a little piece of paper and say, well, it means something. When you look at it, you have no idea why you saved it.
Yeah. Mine house still has not been unpacked since I moved back from the mold.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, the house was torn down for mold. I mean, I lost everything but the...
Oh, yes, you told me that. Yeah.
The fireplace and part of the bar and behind me. And then they decided what I could and couldn't keep, and it's still in boxes out there.
Yeah,
I was allowed to keep my dog, my computer, and my pocketbook and leave. Then change my clothes when I got to this apartment. But the thing is that so much is still packed up in boxes, I don't even know what's out there.
Well, you're like me.
Well,
I tried stuff that I forgot even had, you know, and it's like...
Colorado
that's
fires.
The problem, you know. You know, but he helped me clear a lot. So now my upstairs, I have a high ranch, my upstairs is decluttered. Downstairs, well, we're talking about that another time. Because I've got books and books and books. I mean, they're all packed away neatly in the plastic, you know, containers. Uh-huh. But I started thinking, since I do so many fundraisers and I do so much, I will never read them because if I haven't read them as long as I have them. So I think what I'm going to do is start bringing 8 or 10 at a time, and I have them fill out a little card with their name, and that will be some door prizes.
That's
so,
a good idea.
One way to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if you have this vacuuming and moving things around. So allergic to the dust and stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I also
definitely.
Can't move because my hips have been so screwed up. But
yeah,
I'm in a great place physically. With my hips and my back, for 3 days I've had no pain, and I'm morseling those feelings of just pain free for a couple of days, because I never know when it's going to go back out because my 3 lower discs in my back are totally.
Well, the weather doesn't help either, you know, when it's crazy out there, you know, because our bodies do go with whatever the weather is. I mean, I'm sure your audience just like. You know, the average person out there, when the weather is rainy, you know, things that never hurt you before hurt you, you know.
And I've got fibromyalgia too. But I want to timestamp this. Today's date is July the 10th, 2012. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Janet Russell. She is a psychic medium spiritual advisor, also a TV host in New York's top cable access shows. And Janet.
Yes?
I would like to know about your abduction, UFO abduction.
Sure. Okay, well, I'll go back. In fact, I just was talking about it today to someone. I'll tell you, it happened March 27th, 1962. How I know that was the date was because after the fact, I had lost an hour's time, and after the fact, I had an astrologer, you know, check it out. I was 4 and a half months pregnant with my youngest daughter. And I, you know, I knew the approximate time of the month, you know, of the year that this happened, and I had someone do my astrology chart, and she said to me, even if I knew you didn't have an experience, I knew something strange happened to you that night. Well, I was on my way to my doctor. As I said, I was 4.5 months pregnant. Where I live, where I still live, and the road now is the main, it's not a thoroughfare, but it's, you know, it's pretty big. When this happened in 62, the road was a dirt road. They had two buildings on the main. Now you can't, you don't see anything but buildings, you know, and stores and whatever. Supposed to be at the doctor at 6:30. I got there at 7:30. As I walked in, he said to me, why are you late? But I could hear him mentally saying, why are you late? Now, this was something that I never experienced before.
Oh.
And the next words that came out of his mouth was, you know, you're supposed to be here an hour ago. He said, and what happened to your face? Were you in Florida? And I looked at him like, what are you talking about? It is 6:30. He says, no, my dear, it's 7:30. So consequently, I didn't even know that I had lost an hour's time. As it goes, I was driving down this main road, which is Route 112, locally in Medford, where I live, Medford, New York, where I live. Driving, happened to look up into the sky, and it looked like a moon, but it was purple, and it kept spinning and changing colors. You know, and me being the inquisitive person I am, I remember pulling over. I don't even remember getting out of the car, but apparently that's what I did. The next thing I know, it was an hour later, and I was at the doctor's office, not knowing actually what happened to me, not realizing I had lost an hour's time, nothing. But the thing that opened the door for me was I became instantaneously psychic, intuitive. And to me, I was, you know, I was a kid. I was 22 years old, and I was like, what is this gift? And besides becoming instantaneously psychic, all of a sudden, I couldn't get enough books on UFOs. Did not know why, had no reason, rhyme, or reason about, oh, God, it was, you know, I was very interested in the paranormal, and I actually took a course just to see, because of my interest, not knowing still, you know, for 33 years, what happened to me. Took the course, and every avenue that I went to, the teacher kept looking at me. We did psychometry. I didn't even know what the word was. Psychometry, I did two different people right on target. One had a ring, I described her grandmother. Another one gave me a piece of coal from Portugal, described the day that she got it, the weather, everything. It was a piece of what do they call the thing that erupts? Volcano. So by this time, the teacher's looking at me like, oh, are you in cahoots with them? And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing, you know? So that really kind of opened up the door. So then we'll fast forward, you know, to 33 years later, I had gone to a gathering. It used to be called Star People. There was a gentleman there, may he rest in peace, Brian Levis. He was talking about Scoop Box, and I had happened to be working with a chiropractor at the time, and he was very, very interested. So myself, him, and the office manager, we all went to this, you know, to this place where they were having a lecture. And all of a sudden, Brian, the fellow that was doing the lecture, opened up this book to a page of Scoop Box, and I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what I have on my arm. So what happened was, he says, have you ever been regressed? And I'm like, no, why would I want to be regressed? He said, well, did you see a UFO? And I said, well, I don't know what it was. And then I went through the purple moon, kept changing colors. So consequently, he hooked me up, or he had me contact Dr. Jean Mundy. May she rest in peace. She passed over about 4 years ago. Now, when I went there, the doctor that actually I worked for actually paid for the regression, because he was so interested in the subject matter. So here I am being regressed, talking about going up into the ship, seeing babies, seeing embryos, seeing all of this whole situation. Now, I'm a pretty intelligent woman. I'm not going to say I'm intelligent, put it that way. You know, I have a pretty good mind, you know, that I've been, I guess, blessed with. So when I after the regression, I was like, oh my God, I had no idea what had happened to me. Well, this is actually what had happened. As I was driving, I got out of the car, went to this light, this blue beam of light. It pulled me up into the ship. As I went into the ship, I was met by, this sounds so ridiculous when I say it, but I was met by what looked like a praying mantis. Now, I'm only 4'11", so this thing was towering over me. As I was met by this praying mantis, I was actually told that, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you. Not verbally, but through his, you know, intuitiveness. This is what he told me. The next thing I noticed, two what I called snowmen, but they were grays apparently, showed up. Now, all I could see was that it almost looked like their heart was beating. It was really strange. As I'm telling you, I'm actually seeing this in my mind's eye again. And they kept, of course, telling me intuitively, we're not going to hurt you, you know. But meanwhile, when I was under the, you know, like the very light hypnosis, my body was shaking like a leaf because apparently what I saw was something that I was not used to. But anyway, then what showed up looked like a reptilian. Now, the reptilian, the way that I would describe the reptilian, it was almost like going into a movie theater, and the reptilian was the usher, showing me the rooms in this space, you know, in this UFO. Now, when I first got into this little room, and there was a big silver plate on, you know, like a square silver plate on the wall, and I remember I was told to stand in front of it by this praying mantis, and he took out a pointer that reminded me of like a teacher's pointer with the light at the end, and he kept poking me all around my body, and I remember he poked me in my side, and I remember saying, ow, that hurt. Now, mind you, I was 4.5 months pregnant with my youngest daughter. So from there, they took me into one room. The first room they took me into, it looked like a pale pink. It was real. There was a lot of colors, but they were all very gentle, very soft, and very, you know, very pale looking, where it wasn't like you'd walk in and it'd be a shocking color. It was very gentle. But when I was led to go into this first room, there were 20 incubators, 10 on the top, 10 on the bottom. And in each incubator, there was a petri dish with embryo. And each one actually progressed till it came to the 20th one, and it was a little baby girl. And I remember her head was very big, her body was very, very skinny, you know, and she was extremely, extremely pale, like a child that never saw the sun. Now, she had the most magnificent eyes, but they weren't shaped like our eyes. They were shaped more like an almond color. And I remember crying when I had to leave that room because I remember saying she belonged with us. She wasn't there. She was ours, possibly mine, I guess, you know. And from there, they took me into another room that was a blue room. Same concept, 20 incubators, 10 on the top, 10 on the bottom. But in those, they were reptilians. So basically, what they were showing me were how they made hybrids, because the reptilians and the humanoids were conceived at the same moment. So in other words, they used them, I guess, to blend. You know, now, after I left that room, I was walked into what looked like a pale yellow room. It reminded me of a courthouse. Now, as I was being led there, all of a sudden the reptilian left, but I still had the two grays, one on each side of me, almost like they were protecting me, telling me nothing's going to happen, it's okay. With this, I was led up to, like, it was almost like, reminded me of a courthouse. And we had, on one side, we had three reptilians. The other side was three humanoids. But in the center was the most handsomest man I'd ever seen in my life. Tall, with a cloak, the most beautiful, bluest eyes, brown hair that was like a page boy almost. People don't know what a page boy is because I'm giving my age away. It's like very smooth, but it's scooped under, you know, the hair. And he was the leader, and when I looked at him, the next thing I saw was a little teeny wire coming out of like the corner. And when this wire was coming out, it was very garbled. Some sounded like, you know, alverbal access, us speaking, you know, English, and the other sounded like a grunting. Now, this beautiful male that was standing up there, again, he spoke with me telepathically. He kept saying, we're giving you information, and when the time is right, you're going to know what to do with it. Now, apparently, what I was getting was an implant in my arm. But when I looked at this being straight ahead, he looked as human as you and I. When I looked at him at an angle, he was a hologram. So the next thing I knew, I was being told it was time to go back home. Now, of course, I ended up back in my car, went to the doctor's office, walked in, my face peeling. In March, you don't get sunburn like that in New York, that's for sure. And the first thing he said was, were you in Florida? And I said, absolutely not. Now, again, I had no concept for 33 years until I went to this meeting and, you know, this gentleman gave me the name of Dr. Jean Mundy. I made an appointment with her. I was regressed. I mean, it blew my mind. Now, the funny thing is I still have the implant. It doesn't bother me. The only time it ever bothered me was when Hell Bop was over. But my youngest daughter, she was born with an implant in the back of her leg. You know, and the Japanese had come, and they did a 5-day study with me. This was maybe 8 to 10 years ago, and unfortunately, I never did get a copy of the tape, sadly. And they took me to a dermatologist, and when the dermatologist looked into my arm with those special, you know, glasses or whatever, he said, it looks like a calcified bug bite, okay, you know, or calcified bug. And then I told him what happened, and then he said, now it makes sense. But when my daughter, and my daughter still has hers too, when my daughter had it, you know, I said to the dermatologist, well, I guess, you know, they must go into your womb too. I said, because my daughter was born with that, you know, but that is what actually opened me up to my ability, of my psychic ability. Now, in 1993, I was actually the first woman letter carrier in Long Island here because my husband was disabled. I had 4 little kids. And I had to make a fairly decent income, and I had to have medical coverage. So I took the job there. Well, in 93, I started working in the post office in 1969. 93, I had congestive heart failure, cardiomyopathy, and 2 heart attacks. And I had the last rites. The doctors told me I would not make the night. Well, there was a picture of Jesus on the wall, and I am not a religious person. My mom was one religion, my father another. I got married in another, sent my kids to another, and then I ended up joining the spiritualist church. So, you know, it was a whole realm. As long as somebody believes in a higher power and only works with the highest and the best. Well, anyway, what had happened then was I actually saw myself in the palm of Jesus' hand. And the doctors said, we don't even know why you're alive. You should, I mean, one thing you died from. I said, well, you know, I guess he has, work for me to do. You know, I didn't know. But that's when I kind of started opening up more to the spirit communication. Then 4 years ago, April 7th, I had a massive, massive heart attack, and 98% of my heart was blocked. So consequently, I had April 7th, April 9th, I actually died, but only for 14 seconds. I actually saw myself over my body where they were bringing me back with the defib, and now I'm the proud owner of a defibrillator, a pacemaker, and a stent. So dummy me, loving the work I do, helping others, doing my readings, doing my spiritual guidance, helping people, you know, whatever, I wanted to go right back to work. Well, I guess it wasn't meant to be because I ended up literally flipping over in my kitchen and broke my ankle. So I had 4 months of, it was almost like house arrest. My foot was going the opposite way. They had to put a new rod. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to have an aid. It was not a funny thing. So I said, all right, God, now when I see little things happening, I just take a break. So in a quick nutshell, you know, this is actually what has happened. I love doing what I do. It's a passion. I'm written up in three books, two books by Brad Steiger, and Brad always says I'm 100%. And I'm like, Brad, no, only God's 100%. But I truly amaze myself at times with some of the things that I tell people, because there's no way I would ever know. I don't even ask their names when they come to me.
I know, isn't it weird? I don't know where I get it either.
And then
forget it.
I mean, I don't, you know, I have them sign my book, but I never ask their names ever, you know.
I tend to just forget it because it's
not important. Because you're looking
like
into their soul.
I can't explain it. It just doesn't stay with me, whatever I do.
Mine doesn't either, because people will say, oh, remember. And I'm like, really, I don't remember. I don't even. And when I get people that come to me a lot, you know, I'll look at them and say, do I know you? You know, oh, my God, I've been to you five times. I'm like, okay, you know, because it's not for me to keep that energy. It's for me to help people.
Exactly. And that's where I know, you know, if I had to keep all that, then it would just clutter me up inside my thoughts.
Yeah.
But, so basically, my son has a good analogy when I bring up things with him from his childhood or whatever.
Right.
He'll sit there and go, I don't remember that. And I keep on and on. He goes, oh, yeah, now I see it. Filed. That was filed. He goes, that was filed, Mom. Been there, done that. He says,
exactly.
I've already filed that away.
But, you know, but the funny thing is, I mean, I've been doing this for 50 years now, you know? And I've written up in three books, like I said, two by Brad Steiger and one by a very good friend of mine, Lisa Beretta. And the book is out now. It's called The Book of Transformation. And she's actually been all over on so many radio shows. And actually, Chapter 8 is all about me, which was very nice of her to put that in there. So I've been asked to do an immense amount of radio shows, too. And the cruise that I'm going to be doing in January, it's going to be mainly talking about my UFO experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and the thing is, you know, doors are opening wider and wider, and every time I think I'm going to move on from that experience, I get pulled right back into it. It's amazing.
Janet, because this is something I've been doing for a while. I'll take it like a sabbatical, you know.
Yeah, well, we need to.
Like what I'm doing right now, you know, doing this story and using my house, it looks trashed, but it's really not.
I understand totally, because I'm just like you are.
Each thing represents something that I'll do, and then I will absorb it, think about it, talk it out. By myself, because I live here by myself, I can talk anything. I like to take things that are already there. Mm-hmm. You know, in a story that I've already seen or whatever, because I have like 25,000 journals, and I'll just sit there and act them out and play them out, and then I'll put little things out for it to remind me of, for like, you know, to remember, and then I go back and write. Do you do like that?
Well, you know, basically, you know, like I say, I am a pack rat, you know, and I will remember everything when the time comes up that I need to find it. I'll remember where it is. But it takes me time to say, well, now, wait a minute. Now I know where it was in this or it was in that, you know. And, I mean, like I'll tell, like I had some important papers I couldn't find. I have a big wooden shed that my grandson built. It's huge. It's almost like a two-room house, but it's just a shed. And I have books and tapes, and I couldn't find some important paper. And I knew it was in this certain, you know, a thing that I put it in. And when my son was here, you know, I said, if you find a leather pouch, don't throw anything out of it. Sure enough, it was my deed to my house, my this, my that, because for a while there, my grandson was living here, and then he just took everything and put it in the, you know, in that shed. Important stuff where I knew where it was myself, like you know where everything is, you know, in your home. But when they, you know, I couldn't find it. I was like, oh, God, I pray to God I find it. But it ended up where once we got into the shed, sure enough, it was in there. You know, it wasn't thrown out. But, it's funny because even though I don't remember names, I remember faces. I think it goes back to me being a letter carrier. I don't want to remember names, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I'll remember, oh, my God, yeah, that's where I put it. And, I mean, this could have been 5-10 years ago, and sure enough, we'll search, and it's there. So it's amazing. But I love what I do.
Yeah, if somebody can ask me for something, I've got a blanket over a lot of my stuff because I don't want to look at it because I want to be able to just take my hand, go up under the blanket, and go exactly to where that spot
is.
You know, that's my way of following. My family, all my family and friends know that's how I am and how I live. And, you know, I can go right to anything that I need. But my mother, when she came in, and my daughter, when I had that mold, because I am so allergic, it's damaged my lungs.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to have,
I mean, it's, they said it's like smoking. It takes 7 years for it to get out of your system. But
really?
The thing is, I mean, I even wrote my goodbye, I'm dying thing when
I had mold.
Yeah, and when they packed me up, they categorized everything from socks and clothes to my, even alphabetized my books.
Oh, my God, how funny.
Children's, you know, I don't have really any books because, you know, I don't study anybody's work when I get, like, to get my information from my higher self.
Exactly. Well, that's it. I have a million books, but I sadly never get to read them. And most of them are autographed already, you know, but it's almost like an obsession with me. And my son's like, geez, Marty, I have, like, 50 boxes of books. You know, of every metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all that good stuff. In fact, Dr. Mundy, may she rest in peace, she was so impressed with my experience when you want to leave people things.
Yeah, that
in your will, her will. In her will, she actually left me all of her UFO information.
Oh, really?
And what I'm in the process, hopefully, of doing, you know, I mean, these are people's private experiences, you know, in the books and the tapes. I would love to do a TV series. That's why I keep on hoping that I'll run into Steven Spielberg, because he lives out in the island. And one of my friends that I co-host my other show, The Spirits Within, she goes to the same synagogue as he does. And I keep saying, if you see him, tap him on the shoulder, tell him to call me, because I would think that this would make a fantastic, fantastic TV series, or, you know, almost like a Schindler's List of, you know, of all the people that have had these experiences. Of course, I couldn't name their names or the towns or states that they came from, but just to see the similarities, I would think that this would be, I mean, it would make a magnificent, magnificent movie, you know, as well as a book, but these are real life experiences of people who've had these, you know, these situations, you know, and I felt when, you know, and I found out after she passed, the executive called me and said, you know, did you know Dr. Jean Mundy? And I said, yes, how is she doing? Actually, her birthday was July 17th, which is really coming up, funny. For some reason, I remembered that. I don't know why, but I remembered it. And the woman said, well, she left you all of her UFO stuff, all of her books, all of her tapes, everything. So, I mean, I could probably open up a bookstore with all that she left me. Amazing.
And I hope they're put up safe.
And you know what? I think she left it for me because we talked about animals. She actually left her house to her cats. She lived out in a very, very prominent area out in Southampton. So she knew how I felt about animals and helping people. And I know she left it for me to do the right thing with it, you know, not just throw it in the garbage, which I would never do. And I keep telling my kids, when I go to the other side, you better donate all this stuff. I don't want to hear it's in the garbage because I'll come back and haunt you.
That's good.
So but they know, you know.
With my little dog, I've got to put her to sleep. I know I do. And it's just like day in and day out. Okay, tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow. Okay, next week. You know, she's got she's very connected to, you know, a friend of mine that hasn't been here in a while. And when their energies connect, she starts scratching and biting.
Oh, really?
And she won't stop. The only way I can get her to stop is I throw like a little something at her. And it pops her back into, I'm scratching. Because she just obsessively just starts. And she never did that until last year when the person came to the house.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, animals are very intuitive, too. And animals, you know, they know good people. They know bad people. They're more intuitive than we are.
Yeah, well, she lets me know how he's doing. It's really amazing.
Funny. funny.
That we go on paths and then we, you know, people meet in your life and then they come back.
Right.
And whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens to me as well. You know, it's because I believe when that happens, it's, it, you know, the situation, it's not finished. And it's time sometimes to, like, I had just stepped away from it. And somebody's calling me, but I'm not answering. You can hear the beep. Sorry. It's basically, you know, I had to learn to step away from a situation because it was a very negative situation. Even though I still had feelings for this person, it was almost like drowning me in dysfunction, and I can't be around dysfunction, you know. So I had to literally not walk but run from it. And you know what? Since I did that, my home has got such wonderful energy now. There's no more negativity. It's almost like I moved into a whole new energy level.
Isn't that great?
And that's exactly, you know, and I'm happier, which is really strange because I really cared very much for this person. They were in and out of my life for about 30 years. And the thing was, once I moved away from the situation, it was almost like the sun was shining in my house every day. Amazingly so.
It's hard to let go, though, you know?
It is, but when you look at the big picture and you see, you can't weigh the scales. You know, every day, we know, is a lesson in our life. And some, like I say, are there for a time, you know, and some are there to teach us lessons as well as us teaching them lessons, you know? And I think that's what it was. It just, I had to literally step away, dissect myself from that whole negative energy, you know, how to not even be around, you know, any of this energy, this negative stuff. Because people that are negative, they don't want to see people succeed. You know, that's why I'm very selective on the people that I bother with or I hang out with, or, you know, even when I go into a home, if I feel that the energy is not good there, I won't do it. I will just leave. And usually I'll get a migraine headache very, very bad. And that's like, run, don't walk.
Yeah.
You know,
people can come into my house even when I don't let too many come in when I'm doing, you know, story whatever. But when they do, they say it's like a sanctuary.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Like a getaway sanctuary. So I guess my energy stays pretty excitingly happy, but I am
emotional. You're a very spiritual lady, and you're very, very strong lady.
I'll cry the drop of a hat if that's what that character needs or whatever.
That's part of the gift, the healing.
Yeah, people used to question, thinking, is she in reality or is she out there? You know, it's like, hey, duh, you know, just looking in and hearing, you wouldn't
exactly
know the difference because you're not me.
But you see, a lot of so-called, I don't even want to use the word normal because we're all normal in one aspect, but a lot of so-called average people out there, they, you know, they don't understand the gifts that we have, and the gifts basically are to help others.
Exactly.
You know, plus while we're helping others, of course, we're helping ourselves too because we're learning lessons from, you know, from what we're giving out.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it, really, you know.
Well, we have
I love what I do.
15 minutes left. Is there any,
do you want to give me an intuitive,
or do you want to give them an example of how you do intuitives?
Sure, have somebody call in.
Well, the lines are open, but I'm just saying, until then, would you like to, do you see anything with my life or where I'm going? Or?
What I keep seeing around you is pink, fluffy clouds, and to me, that's love and that's happiness. What is your birthday? Just day and month.
February 11th.
Oh, so you're an 11 person. And you know, people that are born on the 11th or the 22nd of any month are basically, they either reach, you know, it's almost like there's no middle there. It's either they go very high or very low. Extremely intelligent people, extremely smart people. And since, you know, since you shared that, you know, that your house is like a sanctuary, like we said before, you know exactly where everything is. Also, you do have some new opportunities to expand, and money's going to start flowing in. And the way it's going to come, it's almost like hitting the lottery. Not to say you will, but people, the gift you have, you are going to be helping so many more people. You really are. People that have emotional, you know, or heartbreak, or in other words, when I talk to you, when I pick up, it's almost like I'm picking up. You know what cotton candy looks like?
Yeah.
Nice and fluffy. That's what I see around you. So it's sweetness. It's, you know, the energy is smooth. It's nice. There's no questioning. In other words, it's almost like a righteous path. That's what I would say.
Very nice.
And you know, and it's not. I'm you know, it's almost like I'm not seeing anything unhealthy happen to you.
Great.
I'm seeing done. Doors opening. But as far as business goes, my dear, you're going to be starting to make a lot of money. And I know you said you're writing that book, okay? I really feel, and I might be going out on the edge, and I do that a lot lately, I feel like once you get that book finished, written, it's going to be made into a play or a movie. And I'm getting chills. When I get chills, it's confirmation.
Yeah, that's exactly what my goal is.
Well, it's going to happen.
I was told that 3 or 4 years ago. That I was told in the 80s to write the book.
Really?
And I've been writing the book since the early 80s.
Well, this is going to, I feel like before the end of this year, I don't know how far you are into the book, but I feel before the end of the year, you're going to have it signed, sealed, and delivered. That's what I'm being shown.
I'm shooting for December.
Yeah, I'm picking up December, yeah. But, I mean, you know, you'll have it all together by then. But, of course, you know, you won't reap the profits probably till a little after your birthday next year.
Yeah.
Probably in March or so. But I see you going all over the country speaking, too.
Yeah? Well, you coming with me?
In a heartbeat, my dear. In a heartbeat. I told you I got 3 cruises.
My dream, Janet, is to get a really nice Winnebago or, you know, RV.
Ah, fun. I went across country when my husband was alive. It was very interesting. But I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing 3 cruises, but the last cruise I'm doing next December, it's going
to
be all about, you know, helping others, fundraising, and, you know, I haven't made the total arrangements with the travel agent yet, but I think you would love it. Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, but I keep seeing this very distinguished gray-headed gentleman in your life.
Well,
with
I'm
a
hoping
thin
show up
gray beard, but he's just, I mean, he's just so intellectual. He really cares, and I don't know whether he's something to do with business or what, but I've told you that like 3 times.
I know you did. Well,
he's
still waiting.
More, he keeps coming towards.
I mean, I have plenty of guys that are interested in me, you know, but I'm so, I mean, I'm so busy with what I love, why ruin it? I'm happy being me.
I'm the same way. But the thing is we've got like maybe 5 minutes, Janet. I want you to give your input on how people can contact you.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure, they can go to my website. It's JanetRussellPresents.com or Long Island Psychic. I think they can get there either way. They can write to me, Janet Russell, Post Office Box 311, Medford, New York, 11763. They can email me at rosebudsjanet@msn.com. They can call me. My home number, which is the number I'm speaking on now, is 631-654-3353. I do phone sessions. I do group sessions. I'm available for TV, radio, you name it. I'm available. You know, I love what I do. I love helping others. That's my main goal, you know, when I do a lot of fundraisers. But, my information on how to get a reading from me, a 15-minute or a half hour, is on my website as well, and some of the upcoming events and things that we're going to be doing in the very near future.
You are doing a lot with the paranormal lately, like the ghost huntings and something up there in New York. I read about that with you. Is that true?
Well, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You're working with the paranormal
Oh yeah,
investigator.
well, the thing is, I have a group that I work with, Peggy Vetrano from the Eastern Suffolk Paranormal Group, and what we do is we go to different houses and venues where there's hauntings, and we videotape it for the show, The Spirits Within. In fact, I'm going to a place 2 weeks that we just booked, and I did a little soul session on this area. I knew something of it, but this fella and wife live in this apartment. Apparently, he wakes up with scratches on his face. I mean, these are deep-rooted scratches. So much stuff going on, they had asked me would I come over with my friends and, you know, and see what I picked up. And I don't feel it's a positive energy, but yet we're going to videotape it. And I did a little soul searching because it's the town I used to deliver the mail in, so I knew that where these apartments are, at one time it was just vacant land, but the town literally, during the Revolutionary War, George Washington actually slept in this on the same block. So I kept picking up Native American, that maybe there was some Native American burial ground there, and that's why, you know, you don't take from the Native American, you know, you leave them at rest. And apparently this whole complex has changed hands numerous times, and everybody that lives in this one building, they go through such horror and such, you know, issues that many people don't stay there too long.
Well, you know, behind where I raised my children, mm-hmm. on Rocking Chair Road, behind our house, just not too far into the woods, there was a Native American burial ground there.
So then
and
you've got that spirituality
that
there,
everything,
too.
But we knew enough to be very reverent and respectable. You know.
Yeah, well, I think what happened with these people.
Our dead, we walk around and look at the graves, and you don't touch anything with
no,
theirs.
No, you take it, nothing. You don't take a stone,
exactly.
You take nothing.
And they
no.
They put a behind it was these big, huge cliffs and like ravines, and inside were the holes where the Native Americans lived, you know, three or four
right.
rows up, and I've got arrowheads.
Well, see, that's it. But the thing is
they
you
were
know,
right in the backyard.
It's got to stay there because it's theirs. Because if you take something of theirs, you've got to replace it.
I always ask, even to take a stem,
right.
a piece of a tree or whatever. I always ask.
Right.
But these two arrows were in the field, and I went to leave them for a long time, and I kept being drawn to go back and get them, that, like they were gifting them to me.
Well, then they probably more than likely were, you know?
One head of the arrow is broken, so then, ironically, years later, they come out with the broken arrow, you know, moving.
Oh, right.
So. But anyway, we got to get off the air, Janet.
All
we
right,
got,
my dear. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure. I know I did a lot of talking, but I'm good at that. I was shy till I was 29, so now I made up for it.
I like to make an energy ball before we leave the air and place in the energy ball the things that we want for the week to transpire. I would love for non-judgmental. I would love for high respect for one another, integrity, everybody to carry their own integrity, for each individual to be able to be their individual self without having other people try to feel what is going on with them and trying to use them to understand things, because no one can understand anyone except for God and in their heart.
That's
and I'd
true.
Love everyone to find a higher self, higher power, and God bless our country and our universe, and keep President Obama in the positive with people, because he's doing the best he can.
Yes, he is.
Romney, you know, with his thing that's going on, that our country just come together so that we can be a representative for the world.
And everybody needs to work together, too. That's the success. That's the key.
Peace and love.
No animosity, no jealousy, just work hand in hand. Because we're all connected in one way or another.
Exactly. Put some good stuff in that energy ball. Let's pop it out there.
Okay, well, I definitely want love. Love is very, very important, okay? A clear conscience, no jealousy, no manipulative energy, all positive stuff. Financial gain, happiness, health to everyone, you know, that's disabled or that has some issues. Just a clearing of kids that are being abused that shouldn't be, you know, you want them to be positive. And a big one is these kids that are bullying, this has got to stop. because so many kids are taking their lives because of it. So, you know, we got to bless those that understand and bless those that don't understand, because some people are learning their lessons the hard way, and unfortunately some people have to learn the hard way, because even though the handwriting is on the wall, they don't listen. It's their way or no way, and usually if they don't let it to be God's way, well, then it never works. But yes, that's what I would like to see for the universe, you know, and everybody to be happy.
And with that, we're going to kick that energy ball out into the universe. Mm-hmm. And we are going to let it go. And Janet, it has been a pleasure.
Same here, my dear.
This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, bridging wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.